Well, good morning, and welcome to this sixth Sunday of Easter. As once again, I'm at home to share with you in a short worship time and prayer and the sermon for this week. Many folks have asked, since Virginia has moved to phase one of reopening, when the church will open again and when we'll gather together in the building. It's going to be a little bit. We have some things that we have to work out, some guidelines and some understanding of how we will do things. But we also have to find some cleaning equipment and supplies so that we can make sure that we clean after every worship service. So it's going to take us a little while to get those things together. We will make sure that we make that announcement to you when the time is that we're going to start gathering back together in the building. But for right now, I want to share with you from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, starting at verse 22 and reading down through verse 28. Listen to these words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let us sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer and take a moment for some silence, just to be in God's presence and be there with God and allowing God to love on us as we need it. So let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Lord, gracious and almighty, you are a wonderful God who has done so much for us. We come into your presence right now, and we would just want to allow some time for you to hold on to us and love us. Because times are confusing, and we need to know your presence. We need to know the ways that your compassions are new every morning. We need to know that you are faithful to us through all that's going on and all that's happening around us. Lord, we know that you are an awesome and incredible God, a God who has done much to make sure that we could have a relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us ever deeper in that relationship, that we would come to know and come to understand that you are a God who walks daily with us. And Lord, as we come to you, we know that you are great and over and above and beyond anything that we can consider. So as we come to you right now, we realize that there are times that we have fallen short of where you want us to be. Sometimes we've fallen short because we've decided to walk off the path for a while. Maybe we thought walking the path that you had designed for us was difficult and just too hard for the moment. And so we willingly walked away from that path of discipleship that you have for us. And sometimes we ended up walking the wrong way without realizing it. So Lord, we come and present ourselves to you and open our hearts to you in a way that you may show us where there is sin in our lives, and that we would deal with that sin, that we would stop missing the mark that you have for us, And Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us. And we know, because your word very clearly says, not only do you separate the sin far from us when we ask for forgiveness, but that you also fully wash us clean. So Lord, we come to you and we thank you for what you've done through Jesus Christ. For we realize without him letting go of his rights and his privileges and coming here upon earth and living a holy life, showing us that it is possible if we keep our focus on you and allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, that we can be your people and live holy lives. And Lord, we know that once you forgive us and cleanse us, that now you see us as your daughters and sons in the midst of this world. You see us as those who will inherit the kingdom along with Jesus Christ. And it's because we believe in what he has done for us on the cross, being an atonement for our sins so that we could be at one with you again. So Lord, we pray that we would work mightily upon that relationship that you have done so much to provide for us. Guide us ever closer to you and in your ways. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you for an empty tomb that we know not only has there been a sacrifice for our sins, but that you have victory over death. And Jesus said if we believe in him and what he has done for us, not only will we have salvation, but we will also have eternal life. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for those who have taught us how to grow in the relationship that you desire to have with us. We thank you for those who have gone on before us and have preserved so much so that we can come to know more about you. But right now, Lord, we come with heavy hearts for a number of things in our lives. We know folks who have lost loved ones, and we ask that you would be there to comfort them and guide them ever closer to you. We also pray, Lord, that you would work in mighty ways to heal those who are sick. We know some who are going through treatments right now, and we ask that those treatments would be effective. We also know that there are some that are still waiting for doctors' decisions, and may you bring your comfort and your peace during this time. We also know, Lord, that there are some who have lost loved ones here in the recent past, but also hearts that still hurt over other loved ones who have died. So we come to you and ask that you would bring them comfort, that you would lift them up and encourage them. We also know, Lord, that there are many who are having difficult times right now, whether because they don't have a job or they've lost their job because of the situation right now, whether it's they have their hours cut back and can't work as much. And Lord, we just ask for them that you would supply what they need. Supply what they need in their shelter and in their clothing and in their food. Help them and guide them during this time. And then Lord, we also want to come to you because in the midst of this world, there are many who have not begun a relationship with you. And those of us who have, you've left here that we might reach out and speak to them, that we might tell them the incredible benefits of having a relationship with a loving and living God. So Lord, we come to you on their behalf and ask that you would touch their hearts. We also pray that you would touch our hearts to speak a word of peace and comfort to them, that we would speak a word of testimony about how faithful you are in guiding and directing. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness that we need to share with others. So Lord, we bring all these requests to you, and we open our hands and we lay them at your feet, and we leave our hands open as we back up and walk away because we know that you will answer each and every one of these requests, and that you will bring about the very best possible thing that can be. So we leave them with you and give you time and space to answer our prayers. Lord, thank you for being a God who listens. Guide us and direct us now in your ways, that we might understand how you want us to live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you from Psalm 66, starting with verse 8, and reading down to the end of the psalm at verse 20. So listen to these words that come from Psalm 66. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept your feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened. He has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. In the midst of our world now, it's a tough time. We're not quite sure what the next moment might bring, the next day, the next week, or the next month. One of the things that I know for sure about walking the Christian life is that struggles are common to all people. And they're especially common to those who follow Jesus Christ. Struggles is just part of life. I can remember hearing sometimes from some folks saying, that's not fair. Well, it's not. And that's just the way life is. And we will struggle. Jesus told us not to be surprised by when struggles come to the midst of our lives. He told us it would happen. But one of the things I've realized for myself, and I've seen many other people do, is that when people struggle in the midst of difficult times, they often seek out God, asking for help in the immediate situation. Whether they say they follow Jesus Christ or not, they will seek out God and ask God to help them. They will ask God to be there for them. And many people, as difficult times happen, will turn to the Lord that very rarely ever turn to the Lord. And often what they do when they turn to the Lord is they make vows to God. They make vows in the form of, if you save me now, Lord, I will do blank. Many people fill that blank in many different ways and make a commitment to God that they will do what needs to be done if God will save them at that moment. Whether it means a commitment to going to church more often, whether it means to even start going to church, whether it means to set aside some sins in their lives, only if God will help them during this time of struggle. If you save me now, Lord, I will do blank. I know many people who have done that, and I know that I have during my life. But I also know there's a second type of vows that sometimes we make as we walk as Christians. People make vows to God when they're convicted by the Holy Spirit to make a much needed change in their lives. Maybe you've spent some time reading the Bible, and as you've read the Bible, all of a sudden you felt a nudge at your heart. And when that happened, you realized that there was something about your life that you needed to correct, something that you needed to get straight once again. Maybe something that you needed to set straight for the very first time. And you made a vow to God that you would make a difference in that area of your life, that you would change what you're doing, that you would set aside a bad habit, a struggle, or a sin, that you would finally overcome by following as God would want you to follow. So you see, I see that there's two types of vows that we make, and sometimes that vow is in the midst of a struggle or a trouble that we vow to God, if God will save us at that moment, we will change something in our lives. We will follow God. And sometimes it's just by being convicted that we need to get something straight in our lives that we make a vow to God. Now, a good majority of the time, what happens to these vows is they either fade away or they're forgotten altogether. It's like each year at the beginning of the year in January, many people make resolutions and they say, henceforth, from now on, I will do such and such, or I won't do such and such. And oftentimes it's only about 3 or 4 weeks away that either they've failed their resolution or they've set it off to the side and decided not to do it anymore. So a good majority of time, any of the vows that we make, they either fade away or they are forgotten. One of the things that we can see in the midst of this psalm, though, is that the psalmist says, I have made vows to you, Lord, and I will come into your presence and pay them. The psalmist says, I'm going to the temple, and I'm going to be there, and I will pay the vows that I have made. For those things that I have promised to do in my life, I will follow through. And the psalmist is willing to do this even at a great cost. Listen to the cost found in verses 13 through 15. The psalmist says, I will come into your temple with burnt offerings. That's offerings that are given completely over and burned up upon the altar of God to be lifted into God's presence with a pleasing aroma. I will come into your temple with burnt offerings, offerings that are given over, and I will fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. You see, the psalmist has the same kind of life that we do. There are times that when we struggle, and there are times when there are difficulties, and there is that trouble, that we make a vow. But the psalmist goes on to say in verse 15, I will sacrifice fat animals to you in an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Think about what the psalmist says here in verse 15. I will sacrifice fat animals to you. These are animals that have been well fed, and if they have that fat, may mean that they've been overfed. Resources have been used to fatten them up. But then the psalmist goes on to say that it's not just one little measly offering that they bring. They bring an offering of rams, more than one. I will offer bulls and goats. They are bringing much to God to fulfill the vows that they have made to God. The psalmist fulfills their vows at great cost. Because God has saved them in the midst of a trouble, in the midst of a problem, in the midst of a struggle, they are willing to give up the very things that they have poured many resources into because they made a vow to God. Now, I believe that each of us have made promises or vows to God about how we will live our lives differently because of what God has done for us. You see, that's mainly what I can do when I realize that God has brought me salvation and eternal life, is that I can lift my life up to God and give my life to God wholly, completely, and totally as a sacrifice to God, as an offering up to live a holy life. I know that there are promises I've made to God, and I know that there are vows that I have made about how I will live differently and how I will do things in order to live the way God wants me to live, in order to give my life in gratitude for what God has done for me through Jesus Christ. We also have made commitments at times to make changes in our lives when the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts. Maybe sometimes we've listened to the Holy Spirit, whether it be through Scripture, through prayer, through the words of a trusted Christian sister or brother. And as we've heard those words that just kind of nudge at our hearts, we've made a promise to God that we will make a change in our lives, that we will live differently, that we will walk differently, that maybe we'll share a word of testimony with someone who needs to hear. Maybe we'll stop and ask someone how we can pray for them. And we admit to God that, yes, God, from now on, that's what I'm going to do. And maybe that happens because sometimes we realize that we've missed a chance. But we've decided we will never miss that chance again, that we will only live the way God wants us to live. I know all of us have made vows. I know all of us have made promises to God about how we will live and what we will do. Sometimes because we're wanting to live in gratitude for what God has done. And sometimes because things have been so hard and difficult that we're just calling out, asking God to save us in the midst of a trouble. Many prayers have gone up over the past few months, just asking God to save us from this coronavirus and for it to be gone and to never exist again. And maybe some have said, God, if you will save us, if you will push this aside so it's never here again, we will live a more fully committed life. I ask you this week to really think about, what vow or promise have you made to God? And is it time to follow through on that vow or promise fully? Search your hearts, because I think if we all do, we all will see that, yes, we've done just as the psalmist has and said, God, I promise. God, I vow. God, I will change. Now it's time to follow through on those vows and promises. Now it's time to follow through on them fully, that others might see us live our lives for Jesus Christ in gratitude for what God has done for us, but also that others may see the great benefits of what happens when you walk with God. Let us pray. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is you've done for us. You have provided an opportunity for salvation, for eternal life. You have plucked us up out of a hard spot in life and said, I want to have a relationship with you. And Lord, because you've done that either prior to being plucked up out of the miry place, or even in the midst of it, we've made promises to you. And sometimes we've forgotten about the promises that we made. Now is time for us to live those promises. We're always looking to you to fulfill your promises. And we know that you are trustworthy to always do that. But Lord, we have made promises to you too. And you want us to be just as trustworthy in living those promises. So give us the boldness and the grace and the courage to live the vows that we've made, to live the promises that we've lifted up to you, that we might truly be your people, bringing you glory and honor in the midst of this world, that others may see the kind of God that we serve, a God of concern and compassion, a God of peace and grace and mercy, a God who wants to walk with us as we walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May this week truly be a week of blessing for you. And may you take the time to search out what promises you have made to God, that you might find what you need to do to live them. So may the God of great love and the Jesus who was so willing to give everything for you be so evident in your life. And may the Holy Spirit lift you up, encourage you, and guide you this week as you seek to bring glory to God.